Welcome to Manowaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. I'm CB Drogi. This week, A Drink from the Doubtless Sea by Michael Haynes. My husband is taking our infant daughter to the Doubtless Sea today. I've asked him, begged him not to do this, to let her choose her own path when she is grown. But he has spurned my pleas. "You would risk Nadia's eternity?" he asks me. "Her soul? How can you wish for us the same fate as your parents, who forever have to wonder if your brother..." "Enough, Cole!" The mention of my brother Lane wounds, as he knew it would. I am certain my brother is in paradise, and whether Cole can believe it or not, my parents are sure in that conviction as well. We know his trust in the gods was firm, and that even when he lay dying on the field of battle, he did so with a prayer of love and devotion on his lips. We believe.
"Yes," Cole replies. "It is enough. Nadia and I are going today. You may come or not as you wish."
He knows I must come. Even though it is less than half a day's journey, Nadia would hunger long before he reached the Doubtless Sea, and its waters do nothing to nourish the body. Nadia needs her mother, today more than ever. We set out when the sun is barely above the treetops. Others on the road are taking their children, some even younger than Nadia, to drink from the sea today at midday of mid-year. I see a few adults traveling the road alone. I look at them and wonder what it was which made them lose their faith. After today, they will believe fervently in the gods, no matter what may have come before. But at what cost? Doubt, some priests say, is poison, and therefore the Doubtless Sea is life. But others believe differently. They say without the ability to renounce or even question your beliefs that faith is meaningless. This is how my father taught me and my brother, saying that the sea's water is the true poison. I knew when he was courting me that Cole had drunk from the sea, but he had said he would let his children choose their own path. My father had warned me not to trust him, asked me why I would want to marry a man whose soul was already doomed. But back then I was more concerned with the way I felt when Cole touched me than the state of his soul, or truly even my own. So we were married. Then, when his father had the chance to purchase a larger vineyard, Cole and I moved to the other side of the sea, where the only relative I had besides Cole's family was a distant cousin, Alana. But Cole and I were happy, and the cool breezes which came down from the mountains were a delight compared to the summers of my youth. A dozen harvests came and went, and still we were childless, so I believed that Cole's pledge to give his children freedom would never come to a test. But now here we are. I wonder if Cole had believed what he said when we were courting, or if his own certainty let him think that deception was justified. Or was it simply desire for me leading him to lie, to betray me, to betray Nadia? As if my thoughts had touched her mind, Nadia stirs, and soon she cries, hungry as I knew she would be. We are less than an hour from the sea, and Cole wants to push on, but I insist on stopping to feed her.
"Just as long as her belly isn't too full for the water of life," he says.
We are far from the cooling mountains, and the heat is as intense as I can remember. I lead us off the road, back into a grove of trees where there is shade from the scorching sun. There I pull Nadia to my breast, and she drinks. Cole paces. I close my eyes and hold our daughter, humming a soft melody. Our comfort is broken when Cole snatches Nadia from me.
"Enough, we must go. There will be plenty of time to feed her after midday." Anger fills the place from which my flesh and blood was wrenched. I turn away from Cole and work to refasten my garments.
The pin I had gotten yesterday from Alana is concealed in my hand when I turn back. "Perhaps you'll change his mind," Alana had said, as she handed the pin over wrapped in a thin layer of cloth. Perhaps, I had agreed, but still when we said our goodbyes I knew it was for the last time. Cole gives Nadia back to me so I can carry her the rest of the way to the sea. Once I have her safely in hand, I strike, plunging the pin into Cole's left shoulder. He cries out, but my cousin's tincture works quickly, and before I even have time to back away from his outstretched arms, he is crumpling to the ground. It's silent then. I look around. The shade from the trees will keep Cole from suffering too badly from exposure to the heat of day. Before long, I hear the voices of others on their way to drink from the sea. On their way to lose the ability to control their own mind. I shudder at what might have been. I drop the pin to the ground and run, holding Nadia close, telling her that everything will be okay. Even with what I have done in protecting her, the gods will forgive me. I have faith.
This has been A Drink from the Doubtless Sea, written by Michael Haynes, first published in 99 Fleeting Fantasies. Thanks for tuning in to Manawaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. Have you checked out Manawaker Studios' 100-word project yet? Each month, writers take on a new prompt in exactly 100 words, and I pick 9 of the best to share on the Manawaker Patreon alongside one of my own. You can read the showcase free, and if you're a patron, you'll also hear me bring them to life with narration. Last month's theme was Tooth, and those drabbles are up now at patreon.com/manawaker.